What up, H-Town?
I hope it's not referred to as the morning after. But last night, in terms of the morning after, was not what anybody wanted to see, and especially with the long-term results of one J.J. Watt, waiting to find out the long-term and short-term results of Whitney Mercilus. But overall, can you give a moral victory when you lose? When you lose,
let me help you right now.
Everything in the process.
No.
Barry's here. I'm here. Nick still taking care of some business. So producer Tyler Scott is here. We are the usual suspects, and we are here for you on a day baseball Monday, the morning after, or now afternoon after, quite a debacle down on Kirby.
Yeah. First things first.
Yes.
You think anybody's listening?
Yeah, you know, you and I were talking about this in the break. Tyler was all intensely yelling at us to get in here and everything else. And I said, you know, if anybody's got the radio on today, I'm quite sure it's tuned to 94.1 and they are listening to Astros baseball.
That's right. And that's okay.
You
know what? I'm not hating on you. If you're out there listening to the Astros, I get it. Bounce back and forth, though. Maybe do a split screen radio version.
Yeah. Let us know. And if you are listening, let us know. Tweet us, call us. Or hit us up on a text, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line where you call or text. You can hit us up on Twitter as well, at Producer T. Scott, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Let us know, because if you're listening, obviously, we want you a part of the show, and we appreciate it, but we also understand, because this is a big ball game. And by the way, Astros currently lead 2-1 in the bottom of the second inning now for the Red Sox coming to the plate. Charlie Morton, not looking so great in the first inning, but look, Porcello's having his problems too. Red Sox have already gotten out of some jams. But I don't want to get to a game five.
No.
Teddy Riley and Guy, I want to get this thing over with today.
You know why you don't want to get it to a game five? You don't want to give Chris Sale a second crack
chance.
At it.
And I don't want to burn Verlander if you would win.
Yeah, I mean, the only good thing is you still have Keuchel. If you move on to the next series. So that's great.
Yep.
But you're right. It sure does screw things up if you have to burn Verlander in game five. But you got to do what you got to do. That's why it'd be great if they could take care of business today.
Yeah. So big one for the Astros going on right now at Fenway. 2-1, as I mentioned. Astros going to the bottom of the second inning with Charlie Morton on the mound now facing the Red Sox for the second go around with Hanley Ramirez at the plate. Astros, yes, are important, but last night was a big game. We talked about it all week. Texans and Chiefs, national TV, big-time stage for the coming out party or the continuation of the coming out of Deshaun Watson, and all goes terribly wrong. Start to finish, just not the Texans' night. The score not indicative of what was a pretty much start-to-finish butt-kicking by the Kansas City Chiefs. And if nothing else, before you even get into Texans, you just got to tip your cap and realize the Chiefs are just that good.
Yeah, they are. That's a really good football team. Alex Smith is playing an Alex Smith like football. He's got weapons, legit good weapons. Now we'll see how long Kelsey's out. Maybe it's just a week or two.
Yeah,
at most. But he's got weapons. He's got a defense. They're complete. I mean, they're really good on special teams.
That's where I was going to say.
They're really good on offense. They're really good on defense. They can get after you. They can cover. They can run the ball. They can pass. There's really no weakness right now. Now, is this a team that could lose it all? I think so. I mean, it's the Chiefs. It's, you know, it's Alex Smith. Can things fall apart? Sure, they could. But right now, they're looking like one of, if not the best team in football.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know what? And I was thinking about this last night flying back home. From a Texans perspective, we were following the game on our phones, too. When you think about this, need I remind you the Minnesota Vikings a year ago that started the season 5-0?
Right.
Everybody was already saying they're the powerhouse in the NFC. They're going to the Super Bowl. They're doing all these things. They didn't even make the playoffs. They fell apart.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's why when they talk about how coaching staffs in the NFL coach quarterly, and they go, how do you do by each
that's
quarter?
That's a great point.
You know?
Yeah.
So, with that being said, we can talk about how great they've been in the first quarter. but we also need to remind people that there are three quarters still to go, and you don't decide games in the first quarter. You decide them in the fourth quarter, and that's where we're going to see how this team lasts. But you're right. The big thing that I was going to say is there's three facets of the game we always talk about: offense, defense, special teams. They've got them all covered at a very high level. Smith's playing like a guy who's playing for a contract, which in all inevitability he could be or is, because of the fact that, you know, Kansas City's already got their quarterback of the future in Mahomes. A lot of people thinking Smith will be a free agent at the end of the year and that a lot of teams will want him, but they don't want a game manager. They want a quarterback that's playing the way he's playing right now. And then, God, they've got speed all over the place.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the box score. Two things stood out. One, I mean, he throws for 324 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Damn near a perfect game. I mean, 29 of 37. You can't ask for much more from any quarterback. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers or
who? You
know, yeah. But you're getting that from Alex Smith.
Yeah.
You'll take that every day of the week. But then Deshaun Watson comes out, throws for four or more touchdowns in a game, throws five. Granted, some of them are garbage time,
sure.
But the kid's still putting up numbers. I mean, he had a hell of a his QBR was higher than Alex Smith's, if you can believe that.
Have you ever seen, you can say it's garbage time, have you ever seen a stronger, more accurate, long-distance arm than what he put out on some of those throws?
Say, garbage time or not, that throw to Hopkins late in the game.
Ridiculous.
It was like a 40-yard pass or something.
And
like
even
that.
The one to Fuller.
Flat-footed.
Yeah. Even one to the Fuller maybe went 65 too. Yards and got over the top where Fuller could get to it over the defender. His arm is just sick.
Here's the thing. J.J. Watt out for the year. I don't know the status on Whitney Mercilus, but
chest injury.
Out for the season.
Mercilus is also out for the season?
Really? Oh, I did not see that announcement.
I didn't see that. So at this point, I don't even care what the Texans do. I'm going to be honest. And I'm talking as a fan, not as, you know, an analyst or a professional broadcaster. I'm talking as a football fan of the Houston Texans that has been a fan since they got here. The rest of the season, I don't care how well they do.
Really?
All I want to see is the growth of Deshaun Watson. I'm enjoying watching this kid get better. If they win the division because it's weak, fantastic. If they don't, I don't care. I just want by the end of the season to go, we finally do really have a guy that can lead this team when everything's clicking and everything's right. Because without JJ, without Whitney Mercilus, dude, those are two really big blows.
Yeah.
When you add that to what they lost in the secondary in the offseason to man, you're taking away big chunks of what this defense was last year.
And here's the other thing I was thinking about. Well, they've done this before without J.J. Watt. So if they just lose J.J. Watt, if Mercilus is okay, then
Cushing
the defense could step up again. But then you look at some of those other losses.
Yeah.
But overall, that's why I was pushing last week, hey, are there moral victories? They might not win the game, but if the kid looks good and if they look good, are you okay with it? Simply because of the fact that we knew that it was going to be an uphill battle. Kansas City was coming in with a ton of momentum, and this kid was still learning things. But let me tell you something. The thing that really stood out to me besides his arm strength yesterday was when they could have had a strip sack on him and they had him behind the line of scrimmage. He switched the ball from his right hand to his left hand to avoid the strip sack, then put it back in his right hand and made things happen. And I'm like, that kid is poised. He's got that it factor, and this franchise is going to be just fine as long as that kid stays at the helm of this offense.
Yeah, that's why I hate to say it, but I think once you lose that much on defense, when, you know, I mean, I'm not giving up on the season, and I'm certainly not one to proclaim moral victories.
Right.
I mean, settle down, Aggies. That's the same thing. Like, the Aggies were like,
point.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, we hung in there. I'm not that kind of guy. But at the same time, you have to be realistic, and I don't really care what this team does the rest of the year now. Honestly, if this team goes 6-10, I'm not going to be upset as a fan. As long as we continue to see Deshaun Watson grow.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you don't have draft picks either.
No, but at the same time, I understand what you're saying. And you and I looked at the schedule prior to this game late last week, and it looked like the schedule was favorable for this team. But that was not taking into consideration all of the losses that they've now endured on the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they bounce back from that. Obviously, some young kids are going to have to step up. They're going to have to find replacements all over the place. But I don't see and anticipate the same kind of defense bouncing back from a JJ injury from a year ago based on all the other losses they've had to take.
Yeah. That's the thing, is now they're starting to pile up. If it's just JJ, you're okay, because, you know, AJ Bouye had stepped up and you know, Q Demps was playing out of his mind, best year of his career. And You know, you had Jadeveon Clowney stepping up, but you also had Merciless. You had all these things. You could afford one loss, even of a superstar of JJ's caliber. But when you start losing 4, 5, and 6 guys, starters from that defense a year ago, it's not going to be the same. And that's just how, I mean, that's just unfortunate, but that's how it goes. So we'll see. You know, maybe they can MacGyver some stuff. Maybe Vrabel and Romeo Crennel can get some duct tape and bubble gum and patch it up and make it good. But the good thing is, if you are still like, no, I don't care, I want them to win, I want them to go to the playoffs, they're in a crappy division again.
Yeah.
The Titans aren't what everyone thought. The Jags are winning this division at 3-2.
Yep.
And the Jags have been Jekyll and Hyde. They've looked great and they've looked terrible. You're a game back.
Yeah.
They're okay right now.
No question. So, hey, speaking of MacGyver and tape and all those other things, Charlie Morton better have some because he's got the bases loaded, nobody out, bottom of the second. The Red Sox are again threatening. So we'll see how this all plays out. But we're going to be here for the next 3 hours. If you want to join the show and you guys are already tweeting us and we appreciate it, we hear you, Kilted Beard Guy.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. And all you guys chiming in, let
Eduardo,
you know you're listening.
Yep. Super Falcons fan, Harrison, Patrick, Jay Webby.
Appreciate
everybody checking
in. Yeah, keep sending us the love, and we'll continue to throw it out there. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, tweet. We're going to be here up until 4 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. Much more coming on a big show. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Tyreek Hill back to take this punt. And another boomer to the middle of the field. Hill will take it at the 18. First man misses. Going to the right side. Needs a block. Gets by that guy. At the 30. Look out. 40-yard line. Tyreek Hill midfield. Cuts it back right. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Kansas City! As the Cheetah runs left to right for 82 yards and a punt return.
Hey, the Chiefs Radio Network, obviously, as the Cheetah ran
the Cheetah?
Wild.
Did you know it was the Cheetah?
No
I
clue.
I had no idea it was the Cheetah.
Chester, the Cheetah. I don't know. We were talking about the Texans game last night. We were talking about the intangible being the special teams. Yes, they've been playing above average on offense. We already knew they had a very good defense.
Yeah.
But my, oh my, when you talk about Thomas and Hill and the speed factor in the way they play special teams and they cover as well, that's a difference maker. And it showed because the Texans were still dabbling in that game. They could have gone for it on fourth down. They didn't, but they assumed they were going to use their timeouts. They were going to get a stop. They were going to get back the ball and they were going to do some things. And then boom, see ya.
You know, that's the thing is, you had mentioned that it was never really close. At one point, it was like 26-20 or something like that, right? Like, it was
a 10-point. I think as
okay.
close as it got was after the first quarter was like a 10-point game.
But, it felt close.
It felt the momentum
but
was switching,
wasn't.
Right?
Yeah, but,
right,
it,
right.
But it, yeah. But, it's tough, man, because you wanna be, you know, optimistic.
Yeah.
When you're playing a team that good, though, there's I don't know.
See, that's the thing. At
some point, like you said, we went over the schedule if they won, and that was fun to look at. But the reality of it is, I don't think anyone really expected this team to beat Kansas City, even though it was here. And even though Vegas had it as a 2-point spread, it was one going into Sunday when we started game day. It was 1 point. By the end of the show, it was 2.
Someone should have jumped. I mean, if you jumped all over that. Because, look, it's not the end of the world. It's not a crime to admit, hey, we're not to their level yet. But at least you could point to signs of progress being made because of that one hyper-important position. Because of Deshaun Watson, you can say, but we're getting there. Will Fuller's catching footballs.
Yeah, go figure.
What a difference a year makes. You know, you've got so many things to point the finger at and go, hey, this is good.
Yeah.
And if the defense is going to be this dinged up and injured, then maybe you're right. Maybe the best thing is, hey, take your lumps now and do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's all you can do, really. I mean, you don't have a choice now. You have to play the hand you're dealt, and that's it. A lot of folks checking in on the text line, by the way. We just want to give them all a shout-out.
And before you get to those, let's just show how valuable our show is, though.
Okay.
As we went to break, we were looking for MacGyver. Charlie Morton needed some love.
Yep.
Bases loaded, nobody out. We're going to the top of the third. It's still 2-1 Astros,
yep.
And Charlie Morton got the love he needed.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Baby.
And what's his name get run?
John Farrell.
Pedroia is still there because Farrell stood behind between Pedroia and an ultimate ejection coming and took one in the shorts. Farrell has now been ejected, the manager of the Red Sox. Pedroia stays in the game, but little Dusty was a little having a dust-up over the fact that he got rung up on a very sweet curveball and had to sit down.
Yep. Just want to give some of these. Arthur,
yes.
Donna checking in. Who else? All texting, no tweeting. Checking in.
Dre.
He said, I'm listening. You guys are more entertaining than the baseball. Ooh, I don't know about that. Jesse from Spring checking in. Listening to baseball makes me fall asleep. Listening to baseball is a lot tougher than watching it. I'm not going
to
lie.
You really got to be a diehard baseball fan sometimes to get into it and stay with it.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Turn the volume down on the baseball game. Watch the baseball game.
That's what somebody texted. I'm watching the game on silent.
We're giving you updates.
Yeah. Somebody said, I'm watching the game on silent and listening to you guys.
Like if you're listening on our sister station, 94.1, we have the game on.
Right.
It's Chris Berman. So.
Yeah. You don't want. There's only so many times you can take.
Luckily, it's not a home run fest like game 1 and 2.
Oh, God.
I was going to tell you to get the Betts home run and then thought better of it
because
of that very fact.
No,
don't
do that.
Relive that.
Josh in Beaumont said that he's not listening. He can't hear 94.1 or for whatever reason. I don't know. But so he's checking us out. But he also asked about the Dolphins coach. We're going to get to that, Josh. Don't worry.
We got a lot to get to because, by the way, he is now without a job.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He resigned, though. He didn't get fired. He just resigned. He knew it was coming.
Right, but you had to know it was coming. Look, I saw the story this morning, and I was reading up on it. And my friend Chris and I were talking about it yesterday because of Keenan and what assistant coaches make. How about an offensive line coach making multi-million dollars? I mean, making over $2 million, they were guesstimating this guy's salary. But he throws it all away because I'm thinking when I read the story, when I see the video, it's going to be in a parking lot. It may or may not be this guy. But when I find the video, and it's basically like a love chat between him and this stripper, hooker, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And he's basically dedicating his life to her and his love of her lower half and then snorting it away. It's like, okay, two words, bye-bye. You're an idiot.
Stupid. Again, every time this happens, guys, I think to myself, if you gave me that opportunity, I'm not blowing it. No pun intended. I'm not doing that. Like, just give me that shot. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go in there and do something. Now, I may not keep it because of performance, like in this radio show. They may let me go because I suck. But it's not going to be because there's some scandal.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not going to be because I'm snorting blow and sending videos to hookers basically telling them, hey, I'm whooped and you got me, sunshine. Like, I just left my wife and kids for you. I'm not doing that. It's what it reminds me of, though. It reminds me of Harlem Nights when the old buddy, after he sleeps with Sunshine, he hangs up the phone, he calls his wife, hey, baby, I'm not coming home. Tell the kids I love them. Like, you just threw it all the way for hooker ass. What are you doing?
Bro, think about this. Think about not only that he threw it all away, but I was looking at some of the different articles, and they were guesstimating that this guy, 56 years old, you're making more. I don't care how much you're making, but
he was like one of the highest paid assistants.
The guesstimates were he was making between $2 and $2.5 million a year as an offensive line coach, and you throw it away on a $20 bill and a line of blow for a hooker. You're an idiot.
I don't know if I'm definitely can't play the song, but 3-6 Mafia has a song, and it's called P Got Ya. And the hook of the song is P Got Ya, Got Ya, Hooked.
Kitty cat. Yeah. Kitty cat got you. Yeah. Yeah. That is what's appropriate.
Tyler, have you heard the audio? Is there any? I mean, I know end of
the audio is gold.
But can we play it on air? Or
I'll try and record it.
See if we can clean it up a little bit. So we'll try and get that to you.
We have to edit out.
But yeah, I verified it here. ESPN is reporting that he was making $2.5 million and then $3 million a year in the next 2 years. And then head coach Adam Gase, after he resigned today, said, since I've been around him, he's always been a guy that's just put his head down and worked. He was here at 4 in the morning, worked as hard as he could for us. It is what it is, but anytime you lose a really good coach, it's not ideal. Well, I guess he was putting his head down and in other places and then his nose around $20 bills.
Why do you think he's working at 4 a.m.?
Right, because he just got out of the club with Princess at 3 a.m.
And he's got the energy.
No obviously. Doubt.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let's go to work. Let's do some. Let's go. Let's go. Jeez. Why are you guys so lackadaisical? Come on, guys. Let's go. It's like, bro, it's 7 in the morning. It's okay.
It's I'm feeling good. Saturday.
Yeah. Dude. I mean, if we'll get you the audio. It's crazy, but his name's Chris Forrester, 56 years old.
Dumb.
An offensive line coach making $2.5 million, and you literally blow it all away.
Runt.
Not a very smart individual.
You runted it.
Individual.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, because we kind of got into it the first segment because we were concerned about everything going on today that with the baseball and stuff, making sure people are listening. But you were away from us for quite a while.
I was.
So we need to catch up on all that because you were in your second favorite city, as
nope.
I build it, in Texas, San Antonio. How was the cosmetic beauty of the Alamo City and all that?
I will say that it still doesn't need – it's not Dallas. Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex is much cleaner. But I don't think I would go in and say – San Antonio is any cleaner or nicer than Houston is. There's hills, and that's pretty, but if you really get down to driving around on the freeways and looking at them, they look a lot like Houston. Dirty. Need to be cleaned up. So not much different. The people are awesome, though.
Okay, cool.
Dude, I can't tell you how many people that listen to our show are out and about. I've met probably 6 to 8 listeners in San Antonio.
That's awesome.
Dude,
that far away.
It still shocks me, one, that people would actually want to listen to us talk. That still amazes me. But the fact that they, you know, I can go to Dallas or I can go to San Antonio doing comedy and they're there and they're showing up. They're like, oh, my God, I listen every day, man. And it's awesome and super appreciated.
See, that's fantastic. And the thing is that did you get any warm sensual hugs?
I did not. Thank
goodness.
Because
I saw people on Twitter that said if they were there or if you were in Beaumont, they were looking forward to giving you one, which just shows you the love that's just waiting for you throughout the all of the state of Texas.
Yeah, I'm glad.
I just want the first person. I'm still waiting for
Jazz
the first
got
person.
Me, though.
I know, but I'm waiting for the first person to want to trace the outline of your lips with their pointer finger.
They will get fought.
That is going to be
get fought.
Priceless. I want to be there when that happens. All right, we got plenty more show to get to. Astros batting in the third, up 2-1. We've covered a little bit of the Texans. There was college football, and a new poll is out. There's NFL games to talk about. Did the Cowboys play? I'm not sure. And lots more to get to on the big show as we continue to roll on. So don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects back with a whole lot more in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
There, and try to get something into the end zone. That's another rookie, Xavier Woods. This one, Adams, touchdown! Instead of the low trajectory out in front, back shoulder high, and let Davante Adams make a play with Jordan Lewis not locating the ball. That's a great throw, and it's a great adjustment by Davante Adams.
That was a certain game that happened somewhere in the state of Texas yesterday, and America's team was victorious over the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait, that was a Cougars highlight?
Oh. No, no.
Oh. Okay.
I wanted to sit on it. I wanted to wait.
I don't blame you.
A lot of people wanted to chime in. I was going to wait till someone stirred the pot a little bit. But the bottom line was that was one hell of a football game yesterday in Dallas. And I
yes,
was lucky
indeed.
Enough to be there in unbelievable seats with some great people. But, man, as much as you promote how, you know, the cleanliness of Dallas is the dirtiness of their fan base in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Just, oh, my God.
What happened?
The stage will just... I mean, first of all, learn how to tailgate people.
Uh-oh.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you got people that, like, first of all, no disrespect to the people I was with, but they just stopped by a barbecue and bought everything and then just opened up the trunk. But they were all from out of town and had a rental car. I get that, right? But then there are people trying to set grills afire in between the front ends of two automobiles.
What?
Yeah, that's not intelligent in any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Right?
No.
No. Yeah. Okay, it gets worse. So then where we were, we watched people pull out a portable generator, a gas-powered one.
Okay.
You and I have a tendency sometimes to go off the beaten path and get a little bit more, shall we say, sexually explicit when we talk about certain things that happen. I watched two gentlemen, and they were a little bit older, literally make love to a generator and violate every orifice of this generator trying to get it to start for over an hour.
And then realize there was no gas in it?
And I was with some guys that like have put together like military vehicles and everything like that. They finally went over there to kind of discuss it with them, and they're like, "We're not even helping them at this point." One guy threw out a groin and his back trying to pull start it. The other guy, like I said, we called him the Shocker because he literally put every two and three fingers in the clutch and try. And we kept watching these guys going, are they making love to it or whatever? And by the time they get it started, the game's going to start. They're not even going to cook. And who cooks food on it with a generator?
Yeah, why aren't you just, like, just barbecuing? Grill. Why are you? Was the generator, though, maybe for the TV or something like that? Because that I will see. Because people will set up TVs and, you know, maybe a lamp. I don't know what the hell they're doing out there with a generator. But definitely have a TV going.
We literally were going to take a red Solo cup and go like car to car to just bring up, you know, see if we could not only either kick a collection of money and or some spare food just to see if to get these people to stop doing this. Because as entertaining as it was painful to watch.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Texans tailgaters do it upright. We're very good at
they
that.
They do. I am
proud of this city when it comes to tailgating. They're really good at it. And I've got a bunch of friends that go out there, Chuck Thompson and Rob Orocha, he's got a badass team that goes out at the Yellow Lot. And a lot of folks out there, Bullhorn Barbecue, Bullhorn Tailgaters or something like that. It's, yeah, man, we do it upright. We're not like Dallas when it
Dallas
comes to that
is
for
just,
sure.
I mean, remember when we were talking about like the foo-foo River Oaks? River Oaks tailgating is not a good look for anybody. But of course, you know, from the get-go, and I'm just wearing a T-shirt. I'm not that guy.
I was going to say, were you packed out?
I had my green T-shirt with a very small breast logo of the Packers.
So right on the nipple.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
Above the heart.
Where it got belongs. Real hard when Rodgers put it right through their hearts with a minute with 11 seconds to go.
The G has a dot in it. That's his nipple. He's
indeed. And
it.
That one would stay that way the rest of the evening. But, you know, walking in and then all the people, and they all make comments. And it was funny. Even when we pulled into the parking lot to tailgate, the guy's like, you guys ready to see Cowboys whoop that ass today? And they're all, you know, a couple Cowboy fans were with us. We're like, whoa, easy now. We got a Packer fan in the back. And I rolled down the window and my man made one more comment and I go, are you saying that because we've basically shown you a red carpet way out of the playoffs two of the last 3 years? And he just went, and I went, and you're America's team. And your last time you got out of the, got to the NFC. And he was like, man, you ain't right. I'm like, you know, I had them ready to go, but I didn't want to. But then sitting in the seats, and we ended up with fantastic seats, there were some really cool fans I got to give credit to around us. But some of them were just constant, Rodgers sucks, and this team is BS, and, you know, send them home, blah, 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 blah. And I just kept to myself.
Yeah.
And I
know
I kept
you're
waiting.
A likes to fight guy a little bit, aren't you?
I was fired up, and I was with some guys, too. My man James that I met, fantastic dude, and I got a story for you about him, too. But he was sitting there, too, with me, and he's not a huge football fan, but he was, like, pulling for us with the Pack. But he was like, dude, you all right? And I'm like, I'm all right now. I said, but, you know,
okay
depending
right
on
now.
How this thing goes, I'm either going to leave early or I'm going to have a whole lot to say. And then they got ripped, so I was like, I'm on my own here because I'm not going to drink. I'm dialed into this game, and a lot of those guys were drinking. But, man, the way it ended and the fact that 9 months earlier he did that same thing to them before,
yep.
There was a few idiots that decided to make parting shots, and I said, well, thanks for borrowing us Lambeau Field South for another win because the Packers have a better winning percentage in this stadium than you do. That was the stifling blow that put everybody else to sleep. I said,
I like
good
that.
Night, night-night, I got to go.
That's a death blow. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like
so
that.
It was a lot of fun. And you realize, too, in Dallas, they're not like true Texans fans. Like, Texans fans, we have the club levels and whatever, but when the game starts, they're into it.
Yeah.
In Dallas, it's more of a social scene. Like, I built the people that I went with have a suite, and it's like ADD of fire ants. Like,
just
from the time
about,
you walk in the door, it's not about what's going on in that big opening window, open window at the end of the suite. It's more about how many people can I talk to in the next 30 seconds, like a tag and it game. And I just kind of stepped out of the way, and they
that
were like,
would drive me nuts.
Oh my God. And I was watching, I was like, bing, it's like a pinball, and they're bing, 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 bing. And my buddy already has ADD, right?
Yeah.
So we're watching all this happen, and he goes, hey man, I mean, we got a lot of customers in here. We got to entertain. Would it be all right if I gave you a ticket instead to go? I'm like, sure.
Please.
Yeah. So I got a ticket. I was like, no problem. And then lo and behold, the ticket turns out to be 10 rows up on the 50-yard line behind the cow. I'm like, they're texting me, hey, you coming up at halftime? I was like, something was wrong with my phone. I didn't get that. They're like, you want to leave early? I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
That's crazy, dude. No, I would definitely. I've never understood why people go to a game and don't watch the game. I don't get it.
No.
That's not a social time for me. I want to watch the sporting event.
Yeah, from a sports perspective, too, that's why I give the nod way up to Texan and Astro and Rockets fan than I do anything in Dallas. But, man, what an unbelievable game to be a part of there and then fly home in time to catch most of the Texans game. But sorry to have that happen. But, yeah, I was waiting to – I sat on it for a while, but that was a fun one yesterday to be a part of. So we've got plenty more to get to on the show. I know we've got some other things to get to besides sports, but if there's something on your mind, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can tweet at Barry is Funny, at Producer T. Scott, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's still out, so Tyler Scott is in as we continue to roll on. Marwin Gonzalez has shown off the arm again. The rifle gets a guy at the plate by the name of Mitch Moreland, so the Astros are still up 2-1. And oh, by the way, the Red Sox have gone to their quote-unquote pen, Barry, and one Chris Sale is on the mound in Fenway for the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's do or die, I guess, you know? You gotta. I just don't know. To me, I guess you're keeping it close. You don't feel like Porcello has it. But it just strikes me as odd that you go Chris Sale this early unless you're counting on him going 4 or 5 innings and trying to stretch this out and keeping it close. But, man, I don't know, because now you've got to go with – I mean, it's Pomeranz in game 5, right?
We were talking about it during the break. Sale's last relief appearance was May 8th, 2012. He gave up a run, blew a save with the White Sox. But here's the thing. If he only goes one batter, I guess I kind of get it. But depending on his pitch count, this basically burns him for game 5 should there be one. And then the only thing that I said would be a real shocker, you and I were talking about this earlier, but with as effective as he has been, the one weapon they're sitting on that if they wanted to try it would be David Price in game 5.
But how many? He went 3 innings yesterday?
I think he went 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, if he went that many, then that's actually another good sign for the Astros.
38 pitches, 2 2/3 innings.
Yeah, they're not going to use him today.
No,
yeah,
I'm saying for game 5.
Start game 5. Yeah. That might make a little more sense. He only threw 38 pitches. In 2 2/3 innings, that's pretty dominant, by the way.
Yep.
One hit, one walk, 2 strikeouts over 2 2/3 for Price. So, yeah, you might be onto something there. Maybe it isn't Pomeranz, or maybe it's Pomeranz to start, and he goes like he did
by committee
2 innings, but he gave up the 4 earned runs, and then it's Price for 3 or 4 innings to keep you in it. And that eats up 6 before you start getting into the Reeds and the Maddoxes, and hell, Kimbrel could go an inning and a half, 2 no innings doubt. If you needed him. But it'll be interesting, you know. It put it this way: if they do have to do all that, boy, the Red Sox are in trouble if they move on, because now you got to go face whoever you're facing in the ALCS.
Is primed,
your rotation
set up,
is screwed.
And
at least with the Astros, if you have to go to a game 5 against the Red Sox and you have to start Justin Verlander, at least you get to come out in the ALCS and run Dallas Keuchel out there in game 1.
Right.
So you've got an ace caliber guy that can take the hill for you.
You're the
early
Diamondbacks.
On.
You're almost saying, hey, happy to be here, but we're basically giving ourselves little to no chance from a starting pitching perspective in the next series.
Yep.
And that'll be and you know, some great numbers, but we got to see, you know, how it all shakes out. But Altuve, 7 of his first 10 in this series. Yuli Gurriel, 6 straight hits now. in his at-bats. So the bats are still coming, but you know that Chris Sale is Chris Sale for a reason. Going to be interesting how this plays out. Astros still clinging to that one-run lead, two outs, top of four. I would hope we're nearing the end of the Charlie Morton appearance today.
Yeah, you're
simply
not happy,
because
though.
You can't keep creating these little bonfires and then all of a sudden, you know, get the fire extinguisher is going to run out of juice and you're not going to be able to put the next one out.
Yeah.
According to Robert Flores on Twitter, even I think it is like sprinkling there now, but he says on Twitter, rain is set to arrive in 15 to 30 minutes with a stoppage. So Sale has that long to pitch.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
So we may see a delay.
That's interesting. If you're going to make the move, why not make it after the rain delay? Because you're basically burning that arm.
You're burning him for that long.
No question about it.
That's why maybe they leave Morton in and just say, okay, let's drag this inning out as long as possible. Because then you can make the natural pitching change when you come back and finish the game.
You don't want to warm up a guy and get in the middle of
a half an inning
and then, the delay happens. Great point. Yeah, that's definitely the way they should be thinking. You just don't want to have him start playing with fire again and trying to click sticks together on the mound, and then all of a sudden, poof,
right?
You know, before the rain can put it out.
Yep. Hey, I've got a show coming up Wednesday that I wanted to mention. So it's kind of a big deal for me. I'm pretty excited. So the Houston Improv, for whatever reason, they lost their mind. I don't know. Whoever books the place got dementia. And they gave me a night of my own at the Houston Improv. So I'm headlining closing out.
Did you hack into their systems?
No, Tyler.
No, there's a lot of people that have been wanting to give hugs. So they figure our listenership will tap into Barry's fronting.
Well, so they've been kind enough and gracious enough to give me my own night there, on an off night on a Wednesday. So it's this Wednesday at the Houston Improv at 8 o'clock. So I've got some tickets to give away. So we'll do that at 2 o'clock and 3:30. Yep. And we'll do that over the next 3 days. So you'll have about six chances to win. But this is all the tickets I have to give away. I'm giving away six pairs of tickets. But I could really use the support. Like, this is it's a big deal. And if you've always wanted to see me perform, now would be a great time to come out. And you can get tickets on their website, Houston Improv or ImprovHouston.com. And if you use my name, you get them for $8 instead of $10. So it saves you a little bit of cash.
Now, have you set a lineup of openers for you?
Yep. So it's Andy Huggins is on the bill. I tried to get everyone on there that's either been a friend of mine since day one in comedy or people that have helped me. Andy's taking me on the road. So Andy Huggins is on the bill. Owen Dunn, who a lot of people that listen to this station might recognize Owen Dunn. He's been around for a while. And then a good friend of mine, Jermaine Warren, who was on Gotham Comedy Live. But Jermaine and I kind of came up together. So I tried to get the guy that I do that couples therapy show with, Alan Adams, but he's out. So, it's going to be Jermaine, Owen, Andy, and myself. It's going to be a fun time. And, you can get tickets for $8 on ImprovHouston.com. Just put in promo code Barry when you check out. But, I could use the support, man. If you've ever wanted to come out or you're a fan or you wanted to check me out, now's a great time to do it. Wednesday.
Awesome. I mean, a lot of people check you out and want to see you perform. So I think that, whether it's couples therapy or not, they're going to want to be there front and center.
Yeah, and it's cool because, like, couples therapy, I usually do about 10-minute set. And then we do the panel and everything. So you only get to see me on stage for like 10 minutes. Usually, like, if I'm at the joke joint, it's about 25 minutes. Wednesday night, I'll be doing 45 minutes. So it's and it's the longest I've ever done on stage, too. So a lot of cool firsts for me. So I appreciate anybody that comes out.
Tyler, the ammunition that he didn't pick up on that he just gave you in terms of things that you should save was just at an all-time high level.
The first time I've done.
I mean, in terms of first time I've done and, performing and on stage for, and all kinds of stuff that should be there in that last segment. But that's good stuff. And so Barry headlining, and you know how much as he just said, we appreciate you listening, but as great listeners, he appreciates you following him as well. So as a headliner, that's a big deal. We're going to give away some tickets, but even if you don't win them, and of course only get them and win them if you're going to use them, but even if you can't win them, go see them. And Wednesday should be a fun night. That's a pretty cool deal.
By the way, I got to clean something up. I was looking at the wrong box score for David Price. He threw four innings yesterday. Shout out.
Tyler, you were right.
Yeah. Shout out to whoever texted it. Yeah, my bad. I was looking at the wrong box score.
Because I remember that they were, of course, with the TV team yesterday. It was just Red Sox Love Fest. And they were mentioning how this is the long he's gone in relief in the postseason.
You're right. He went four innings yesterday, 57 pitches, and then the game before that, he went 2 2/3 with 38 pitches. So, he put in some work.
Yeah, with that being said, I mean, even if you would, he'll make an appearance possibly Wednesday. I don't think he's going to be a starter, a guy that's going to give you a lot. So that'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, if they're gonna go for broke today with their pitching staff, it's going to be interesting to see if there is a game five, what they have left. And again, for the Astros, it lines up pretty well for you, which is a good thing. But if you follow Barry at all on Twitter, you don't want to see Liriano anywhere near the mound anytime soon.
I don't want to see him ever.
Or Tyler.
Ever.
Going back to that, like, why not just leave Peacock in? Like, you should have just given him the little bit of confidence that if he does get this guy out, then I can't remember what the base situation was. I can't remember if it was bases loaded or not. But if he does get that out, then you're moving on to the next inning. And
I mean, I get it. You're like, okay, if we can, you know, hold him, we keep, whatever. The problem is, though, is Liriano, I don't trust him.
Like, I don't trust several people.
Yeah, but I mean, I would trust Brad Peacock more to get out of his own jam than I would trust Liriano or even just to make that move. I mean, I
was going
to
say, they were basing like Liriano on his last, seven appearances where he finally went a stretch without giving up a run.
Yeah.
But, you know, a Tiger shows his stripes and he comes in and just right away just gets lit up and you're like, that's basically your ball game.
I feel like both these teams throughout the series have gone to their bullpen almost too early, it seems like. And more often than not, that's kind of what leads to them losing.
I tell you, though, I would be okay if he just shortened that bullpen to maybe three or four arms at the most.
I kind of feel the same way.
You got a good outing out of McCullers, so that was fine. Three innings, two earned runs. I felt like he pitched better than that.
I agree with that. And also, he got that kind of he for lack of a better term, but he got off the Schneider, popped his, you know, virginity on the relief pitching mound because he realized what it takes to get warm and how long he needs to do the things necessary, and then he got through it. So he got that under his belt, and hopefully he'll be better the next time.
Yeah, I mean, God, Devinsky giving up three runs.
Yeah.
No outs.
Trust and faith in guys that you've had trust and faith in all year.
So you got Musgrove gives up a run, Devinsky gives up three, McCullers gives up two, and Liriano gives up one, all in relief. All in relief. And old Gregerson comes out and doesn't give up a run, and that's who everyone freaks out about.
Yeah.
Again, and we talked about this, the guys that I trust the most, I mean, unfortunately, Devinsky just got pummeled, but he's been not the same guy since the All-Star break, but Gregerson, Harris, and Giles. I'd be great if you shorten it to that. Let's just, you know what I mean? Keep it.
Yeah.
If everyone throws an inning and a third, then you can extend the back end of that bullpen quite a bit. Now, you don't want to do that every night, obviously, but these guys are just there.
Guys can soak up innings in games when you do get eight in a game like you did in the first two games of the series. But until you get in those situations, you got to go with the guys you can trust, that you can lean on.
Liriano should be the last person out of that pen. I don't care that he's a lefty specialist.
No.
Just don't put him
Liriano
out there.
Is like Tony Sipp. Go sit in the bullpen and pick splinters out of your tail side because I don't want to see you on the mound anymore.
Yeah.
I have no faith in you. All right, so we've got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show, 2 hours left on the agenda. With that, we will get you that audio we promised you of the dumbest coach in NFL, now unemployed coach that was a coach in the NFL, as well as lots more to get to. If there's something on your mind you want to get to, 713-780-3776. You can text or you can call the HR&P listener line, or you can hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.